you've got a PowerPoint. Okay, who's Dr. Keith? You are? Okay, we're going to start over with you. And I think what we'll do then is we'll just go around and see if we have another PowerPoint. We'll figure out where you are, and then we'll go to that person. So I thank you all for your patience, and we will go ahead and get started. Dr. Keys.
Thank you. Is this working? Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the opportunity to speak to this. As the slide says, I'm the Associate Medical Officer of Health. I'm with Alberta Health Services, and our responsibility is to protect the health of the public in Alberta, and more specifically in Edmonton Zone. So on the topic of cosmetic use of pesticides, I'm not speaking for or against any bylaw. I'm raising some issues that should be considered when council makes its decision, whichever way you decide. The issue for us is that, of course, any bylaw could potentially have positive or negative impact on the public health, and I want to speak to some of those points. Yes. First, the issue is that this is very, very difficult to define. As you've heard in the other presenters, pesticides are a remarkably vague term, so please be clear what you mean. There's a very long list of things, and I was not aware until I researched this topic that vitamin D is actually a pesticide, and so is blood meal used for repelling rats and mice and rabbits, and household bleach could be considered a pesticide. So being clear and defining what you're speaking about will be very, very important. What's a pest is not clear, and I think you're going to hear lots of issues this afternoon about various perspectives on what is a pest and what is not. The issue, I'm sure, around dandelions will be mentioned. For some people, it's a cosmetic issue if it's on a lawn, but we're starting to hear issues around the effect of broadleaf weeds on playing fields, and they're becoming a tripping and injury hazard. So is that still a cosmetic issue? That's something that you'll have to consider. The other issue, of course, as I've said, is what is cosmetic to one individual may not be for another. So ragweed is not an issue for me, but it certainly is a health issue for other people. There we go. The other issue is that public health does have uses for pesticides, and we do not want to lose the use of these, and we would need to continue with these. So mosquitoes, considering West Nile, it's a disease that there still is no treatment for and leaves residual effects many years later if you are unfortunate enough to have a severe case of it. Cockroaches, head body lice, all of the nuisance things, bed bugs we're all hearing about more every single day, carpenter ants, bacteria, you name it. As has been said before, total risk, you have to consider both the hazard and the exposure. And the federal and the provincial frameworks do protect us by considering both of these, and they do use all of these data. So I won't elaborate further on that. So the bigger issue is not so much the initial hazard of the pesticide, because usually pesticide bylaws are about the what can be applied or cannot be applied. The how it's applied usually matters more. So overuse and overapplication, even of perceived less toxic alternatives, can still have a negative public health impact. And so the net outcome is what needs to be considered in your deliberations. So we are starting now to see some data, and the literature is still thin, that other kinds of alternative pesticides may ultimately have greater environmental impacts, and for those reasons, because of pathways we didn't originally know, and also because people are confused about what to do with them. They may not be trained applicators. They may reuse products because they find that a single application doesn't work as well as what they're used to. And then we discover those impacts as time goes on. Now, if pesticides are banned outright, we do know that there are other alternatives that people will use, and we need to keep those in mind. Boiling rhubarb, so far as I know, is a pretty nasty toxin to anything that has kidneys. However, I understand it's also used for grubs, but that's now something that's being advocated on some internet sites as an alternative. And someone else has already spoken to the use of gasoline and kerosene. I realize that appropriately, under regulatory frameworks, you should be seeking approval to do this, the reality is that your average person who's looking for another way to manage their yard is not going to do that. And we have actually seen a few parents asking us questions about applying kerosene to their children's heads for head lice because they are concerned about lindane and permethrins. So always, always consider that there are alternatives. So, and then once again, approved pesticides, at least, we do understand, and when they are used as directed?
No, you're just at the yellow.
Okay. And when used as directed, do protect the public health.
Now you're at the red. Are you done, Dr. Keyes?
I am very close to done. You have any number of challenges you'll need to consider, so our recommendation, strong emphasis on IPM. I think that gives you your best options for continuing to manage all your...
We can ask you some questions, so I'm going to have to ask you respectfully, thank you very much for your presentation. But certainly counselors can ask you questions for more clarification. Thank you very much for your presentation. So I'm going to look for the second speaker, Mr.